Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is very good to be with you today, everyone who's watching around the world on the Pioneer Channel, and of course, all of our social media platforms. Now, I want to remind you right from the top that if you are watching on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, yes, I'm talking to you. You are watching on one of those platforms that you can do those things. Please do that. It helps us continue to spread this message far and wide. Let your friends and family know that they can wake up as well and start their day with a good morning by opening up the Word of God. So on top of that, let me know where you're watching from. Say hello as all of our people come on. And yeah, let's continue to build this online community together. So it's been an amazing week when it comes to the teaching that we've been looking at on this. And we started this week talking about emotions and handling our emotions. And I want to continue that theme this week because I think, obviously, emotions are common to man, right? Everybody has emotions. Everybody deals with them differently. But I believe that if we get a grip on our emotions, if we master our emotions, there'll be very little that can get a sidetrack, pull us down. Because if you're like me, most of the situations I get myself in, it's because I responded too quickly. I responded out of my emotions. I said what I wanted to say in the moment. I didn't get control over my emotions. I yielded to just that feeling in the moment and led me down a path. And really, when you think about it, sin is emotions, right? Like you desire something or you want something or you just feel like you can't say no. And those things are attached to our emotions, that drive. And as long as we, you know, are under control of those emotions or those feelings, we will always be at the mercy of every wind that comes across our path and every feeling that happens. And how many of you know that that's not a great way to live your life, right? Like, but we should live our lives based off of the Word of God. Emotions aren't a bad thing. Emotions were given by God to help us acknowledge sometimes what's happening or, you know, like we said yesterday, when every time in scripture it says, fear not. Well, he says fear not because there was something to fear. Like the emotion of fear was legit because there was something to fear, whether it was a city that they were overcome, an enemy pursuing them, or an angel standing in front of them. There was something to fear. But when God would declare, fear not, what he was saying is saying, I recognize the potential of fear, right? I'm not dismissing it. What I'm asking you to do is trust me despite the presence of an opportunity to fear. What I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to overcome and override your emotions so that you can follow my will. And if we're never able to override or overcome our emotions, if we're always ruled by them, we will never walk in the fullness of what God has for us. We will never walk into our destiny. Why? Because most of the time, God's calling on our life will involve pushing aside negative emotions of fear, of anxiety, of worry, of panic, right? Like you try to step out and do anything for God. And what does he often do? It's like, you know, he's called you to do something, but then it seems like everything comes in opposition to what he's called or asked you to do. And, you know, it just can leave you thinking, well, did he really call me? Is this really his plan for my life? But often what he's asking you to do is practice that exercise. Will you follow me even when you don't understand? Will you push aside the emotions that are in direct opposition to what I'm calling you to do and follow me anyway? So we're getting victory this week over our emotions. Good morning, Sue. Good to see you. Getting victory this week over our emotions. So we've been yesterday we talked about handling our business or handling our emotions, because if we don't handle them, they will always handle us. But today I want to talk about one of the most overlooked signs of emotional maturity, because really that boiling down, that's what this comes down to. Are you emotionally mature? And here's, you know, something to think about. You know, maybe you've never heard of that phrasing together, emotionally mature, right? But sometimes we get this concept that we, if we are mature in one area of life, we are mature in all areas of lives, all areas of our lives. And that's just simply not true. You can have a business CEO who is, you know, mature in running business and, you know, finance, and he's a visionary, but emotionally, he's immature. And, you know, you see it by people, the way they interact with people and, you know, just throwing temper tantrums emotionally, right? Like, you can be an amazing mother, an amazing father, amazing spouse, but be immature financially, right? Like, you're great at that one area, but in your finances, you're immature. You just haven't grown or developed. So I want us to understand that, because oftentimes, just because we're excelling in one area of life doesn't mean we've matured in all areas of life. And sometimes, again, looking from the outside, you might look at somebody who's winning or excelling in life, and you're just saying, man, how do they get it all together? Well, just because they're mature in one area doesn't mean they're mature in all areas. But I believe one of the first things we need to mature in is emotional maturity, because gift and talent, right, can open doors for you. They can get you into positions, right? But if you aren't emotionally mature, come on, you're going to get yourself out of those positions by what you do. God can open a door for you, create opportunity for you. But if you're not emotionally mature to sustain in that position, right, then it's going to hurt you. But one of the most overlooked signs of emotional maturity is this word. Are you ready for it? Flexibility. Flexibility. Emotional maturity means flexibility. It is the ability to understand and manage your emotions in unexpected circumstances. So it's flexibility in the face of change, flexibility in the face of disappointment. How about flexibility in the face of pressure, right? Like, you may experience all of those emotions, you know, without one day, right? Change, disappointment, pressure, like all of those things happening. But emotional maturity will be able to adjust and adapt in the face of all kinds of things that come at us. Like Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this to us, to where it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. What is he saying? There's a season, there's a time, there's a purpose to everything under heaven. And life will be full of change. Life will be full of unexpected turns. Life will mean you've been going one direction for years, and suddenly God speaks to you, and now you're going into a different direction, and you're just not sure what to do, right? Life will be full of change, and you won't make it far if you cannot adapt. An emotionally immature person will fall apart when things do not go their way. Come on. And I'm not preaching as I've mastered all this. I'm preaching to the choir this morning, right? Like, an emotionally immature person falls apart when things don't go their way. I don't know any person who likes it when things don't go their way. And I'm not even saying, like, go my way like a toddler temper tantrum. I'm saying, you know, you made the business presentation. You saved up to use that money for a specific thing. And suddenly the water heater goes out, and now that money has, you know, now your vacation fund is dwindled because you got to get a new water heater, right? Like, I don't know anybody who enjoys the curveballs that life throws at them. I don't know anyone who enjoys when things don't go their way. And again, not like a child temper tantrum way, but like, that's just not how this was supposed to happen, right? An emotionally immature person will fall apart, fall to pieces, will stop in moving forward when stuff like that happens. But a mature person says, all right, plan A fell apart, time for plan B. And a And if plan B falls apart, time for plan C. Either way, we are going to adjust. We are going to adapt. We are going to be flexible. We're going to change. We're going to figure out how we still get to where God's called us to go despite the challenges. Right? So flexibility shows up in pressure. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've prepared the sermon, but you get on stage and, you know, the mic isn't working. The live stream is down. We forgot something. It's in those moments I have to say, am I going to lose my cool or am I going to adapt with grace? Like, come on. You used to explode when things didn't go as planned, right? Like, you were the worst person to be around. You were emotionally lit. You were charged. You were angry. You were telling everybody off when things didn't go as planned. But now, right, like prayerfully, at least by the end of this week, you know, we're going to get some emotional maturity and we're going to stay calm. We're going to figure out how to adapt. And we're going to treat people with grace as we would want to be treated with grace. Right, like I think of 1 Corinthians 9:19, where it says, Paul became all things to all people. He flexed for the sake of the gospel. He had flexibility for the sake of the gospel. To the Jews, he became as a Jew. To the weak, he became as the weak. Why? He said that I might by all means save some. Now, some people would look at that and say, well, that's compromise, right? Like, you gotta know who you are and you don't change nothing for anybody. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, for the Jews, I become a Jew. For the weak, I become weak, right? Like, I'll flex, I'll adjust, I'll adapt. Why? Because the mission was clear. The mission wasn't about me and my feelings and my way and doing it how I perceived. Come on. It wasn't about me at all, Paul's saying. The goal was that by all means, some might be saved. So if I got to become weak to save the weak, so by all means, do it. If I got to become like a Jew to save a Jew, by all means, do it. But when we have built, when we have built a self-surrounding kingdom that is self-focused, self-centered on me, my emotions, what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, what where I'm at today, we're not going to be flexible. We're not going to be able to adapt. What if God says, you know, I know you're late for the business meeting. You know, I know you got to get there. I know you have things on your schedule. I know you're busy, but I want you to turn, you know, into that parking lot and I want you to witness to that person standing in the corner. Oh, now, God, I'm busy. I'm stressed out. My kids are acting up. I don't got time for all of that. What are you doing? You are submitting to your emotions, your will, and you've made it all about you. What Paul's saying is when you understand the mission, that some might be saved, you become flexible. You become emotionally mature. You say, you know what? Like the Good Samaritan, right? Like, they all had great places to go, to the church, to a wedding, to, you know, all of that stuff. But they missed the mission. Why? Because it was, well, I don't want to be late. I have somewhere to go. They missed the mission. And often when we are immature emotionally, we do not have the ability to pivot, to adapt. Why? Because it's all self-focused. But Paul says, listen, I became all things to all people. I will flex. I will adjust for the sake of the gospel. It won't be just about me, but for the sake of the gospel, I will move and do whatever I have to do. I will adapt, right? So immaturity reacts to problems. Maturity redirects, right? Like, mature people redirect pressure. Immature people let pressure explode out of them. Like, I think about Jesus, and I think it's in Luke 9, Jesus told them not to take anything for their journey. And then a little bit later in Luke 22, he tells them to take their purse and their sword and supplies. Why? Like, it seems like, again, Jesus, well, at one point you told us not to take anything for our journey, and now you're telling us to take our purse and our sword and our supplies. Why? Because the season changed. Maturity means knowing when God is shifting you and being flexible enough to go with him. Like, if you're going to follow God, if anybody else can testify to this, say amen. Hey, good morning, Nate. Good to see y'all. But if anybody else can testify to this, that following God sometimes makes you wonder, God, do you know what you're doing? Or has that just been my experience? Because as I said earlier, he'll call you to something, and then it seems like everything in my life is set up to go the opposite direction. And it leaves you wondering, God, do you know what you're doing? Are you okay, God, in like your directional skills? Because you told me to go right, but yet it seems like everything is pulling me to the left. But often following God is not a straight path forward. Often following God is to the right, to the left, to over here, to up, to down. It's a journey. It's why? Because God is less concerned about you getting from point A to point B. He's more concerned, like Paul said, that some might be saved along the way, but he's also concerned about you maturing and being the person that you need to be for when you get to point B, right? Like, he doesn't just want you to come in. He wants you to come in and be able to stay in, right? So like, you just think about the Israelites and coming out of Egyptian bondage. There were some internal problems in the mentality of those people that God said, listen, you can't come in to the land I'm calling you in the condition that you are. And because they were unwilling to repent, because they kept mumbling and complaining, because they couldn't change their perspective. Listen, because they were unwilling to be flexible and adapt, right? An 11-day journey became a 40-year journey. And for most of them, except for a handful, they would never walk into the land of promise. Why? Because emotionally, they were immature and they did not have flexibility and they were not able to adapt. But following God, listen, he wasn't just concerned about getting them out of the promise, out of bondage and into the promised land. He was more concerned about who they were coming into the promised land. And he said, listen, even Moses, Moses got angry and struck a rock, angry at God and struck a rock. And God said, Moses, oh, Moses, my Moses, faithful to lead my people out, faithful to bring them through the wilderness. But because you did not master your emotions, Moses, God said, Moses, I can't let you into the promised land. Moses did not get to walk into the land of Canaan. Out of everybody, I would have been like, all right, buddy, you can, you know, you left the desert to come free these people. You know, you've led all of them. If anybody deserves grace, it's you. And God said, no, you can't walk in. Why? Because you didn't master your emotions, because you let anger get the best of you, because you struck a rock in disobedience in your anger. Because of that, you cannot walk into the promised land. And again, it just shows us that God is less concerned about us walking into the promise as he is about who we are when we get there. And I'm trying to teach us this week to do not forfeit your promised land. Do not forfeit a new season. Do not forfeit a breakthrough. Don't give up a miracle. Don't let a healing bypass you because you are letting emotions run wild in your life, because emotions will count you out for the blessing and promise of God. Why? Because even faith, you have to stand, you have to declare, you have to decree. And most of the time you're doing that in opposition to feeling. I'm believing for healing in my back. Well, I've been declaring, I've been decreeing, and I don't feel any change. And if I'm going by what I feel, what am I going to do? My faith is going to dwindle. I'm going to stop declaring. I'm going to start living by what I feel versus by what the Word of God says. So feelings will always cancel out your faith. Man, if we were moving in faith by feelings, we would be done. So we don't move by feelings, we move by faith. That's why we got to get victory over this, because feelings will always count us out, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental. Feelings will always shift us away from the promise and plan and the purpose of God. So when seasons change, when things don't go as planned, do you emotionally fly off the handle like Moses did? Do you explode on everybody? Is your temper short? Are you flexible enough to say, all right, didn't go as planned. I'm not going to throw a pity party about it. I'm not going to, you know, stay in the dumps for a week, just, you know, rehearsing how things fell apart. The trip didn't go as planned. The vacation didn't go as planned. It all worked out like we hoped, right? Listen, God is not inconsistent. He's just not static. He moves. And maturity means you move with him. You move when he moves. We have to have flexibility if we're going to follow God. We have to have flexibility in our relationships, flexibility in ministry, flexibility in culture, right? Like, you get this when you get married, right? Like, I will never forget Sarah and I, our first Christmas as a married couple. And I think we both had this preconceived notion, idea of how it was going to be. And I'll never forget, she put on like the Hallmark Channel. So this Christmas music's playing. I think she was making cookies, or at least that's how my memory does it. And we were getting ready to decorate the Christmas tree. And I could tell, you know, she had romance in her mind as a married couple, our first Christmas together, decorating the tree. It's going to be good. And, you know, on our honeymoon, we had gotten this little ornament of the place we stayed at, and this other little ornament that said like first Christmas together and whatever, like corny stuff, right? And all was going well. It was like a real, like a beautiful day, a beautiful experience. And suddenly I start to wrap the lights around the tree. Now, in my defense, the tree was in the corner, right? It was a corner tree. So I just don't perceive that you would waste lights putting them in a corner that nobody sees. So I would go to wrap it and then bring it kind of in a U and back around the front, because nobody's going to see the back. And at that, I started at the bottom and started to do the lights. And I never forget, she came, walked into the living room and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm putting lights on the tree." "Well, you have to make them go the whole way around. And why aren't you starting from the top?" My dad always started from the top. And I'm like, you know, and I bet you know where this is going. And suddenly, what was supposed to be a, you know, romanced, you know, first Christmas tree decorating experience turned into a massive disagreement all about how the lights go around the tree. And it was funny because that with those ornaments that I told you about that we got ended up going in that back corner of the tree where nobody would see them, because we were fighting at the time we decorated the tree. And I'm saying is, you know, what was meant to be and what was expected to be this beautiful first Christmas together, now we look back on it and laugh, but turned out to be a massive fight and disagreement, because we both expected different things. She was expecting the lights to go the whole way around from top to bottom, because that's what she's always done, right? That's how she saw her dad do it. I had done it my way for so many years. So like, you have to get flexibility. And when you start out in marriage, sometimes that's hard. You know, well, that's not the way I do it. That's not the way you do it. And man, you will always be at odds until you learn that, you know what? I don't care how the lights go in the tree. Can we just get the tree up? Like, you know, 10 years on, 11 years on now, you know, it's like, I don't care how you do the lights. Just put the lights up, right? But some people are more married to methods than they are to mission, right? They're married to how the lights have to be on the tree, then, and they're willing to sacrifice their relationship to be right and to be proved right, right? They're more married to methods than they are the mission. The mission, like in that circumstance, is to stay married, is to stay loving one another, to stay kind to one another. But because we were so focused on where the light started, everything else got lost. The mission got lost because we were married to the method, right? And so we have to be very careful that not even just in following Jesus, but even in our relationships, are we flexible? When you know, we thought today was going to go one way, and then something happens, and you know, because of our kids or our spouse or whatever, things take a shift. Are we the person who stays miserable all day because our plans didn't come out the way we wanted them to? Are we emotionally flexible to shift and adapt and say, all right, you know, it's not what I wanted, but I'll adjust, right? I'll adjust. You have any children in your life, you will, you've, how do I word this? You have the potential of even damaging those relationships if you don't learn to master your emotions and be flexible. You're how, like I told you this many times on these lives, but of that psychologist, the psychiatrist who was explaining that the number one things that she sees with people who are dealing with trauma from their childhood is not absentee parents, but frazzled parents. Parents who aren't emotionally healthy. And it's like, you know, they come up and say, hey, mom, dad, and they're responding, what do you want? And they're just, they're present, they're doing, they're there, but they're frazzled. And that constant anger coming at them, that constant, what? And you know, and really the parent is frustrated because they're looking at their bills, or, you know, their name has been called 100 times that day, or, you know, their plans for the day just got ruined, and whatever it is, their inability to adjust and adapt, it has left them frustrated, has left them angry, has left them bitter. And now when their kid's coming in asking for a juice or saying that something spilled, instead of responding like we would want to respond by saying, hey, don't worry, let's clean this up together, we're responding in a way that we would not want to respond, right? But we have to understand that flexibility is not weakness. It's not, you know, whatever happens, happens. It's, I know what I want, but if God says to go a different way, I yield, right? Flexibility is a fruit of emotional growth. And that's why, you know, we often will tell God what we want, but we don't know what we need. Flexibility is saying, God, I yield to your plan over mine, even when I don't understand it. Listen, you cannot be spirit-led without flexibility. This is the last thing I'll say. You can't be spirit-led without flexibility. Walking in the spirit requires consistent adjustment. Some days he tells you to speak. Other days he tells you to be silent. Some people he says correct. Some people he says extend grace. And we don't always understand or know the difference between the two people, other than that's what the Spirit of God says. That's why we can get in such trouble if we try to map everything out and make doctrine out of, you know, well, God told me to correct that person. So the doctrine is that whenever somebody does this, we are to correct them. But being led by the Spirit means, you know, listen, the next person he might say extend grace to. Why? Because he knows the heart, we do not. So you cannot walk in the Spirit while demanding to always get your way. It just will not work. To walk in the Spirit means we have to be flexible. We have to be pliable. Flexibility doesn't mean that you are faithless. Some people confuse flexibility with compromise, but we're not talking here about moral compromise. We are talking about emotional flexibility. Maturity is, I don't change the truth, I change my tone. Come on. Maturity is, I don't change the message, I just change the method. Maturity is, I can be spirit-led in any room with any person and not lose who I am. So are you spiritually mature? The evidence is in your flexibility. Like, I was talking with a relative of mine the other day, and they were like, you know, I'm a pretty, well, let me reset the scene first, and I promise I'm closing, but as every pastor says, but all morning they were, or had been talking about how their back was sore and, you know, their hip was hurting, blah, 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 you know, and all their physical ailments. And then later on in conversation, they had said, you know, I'm a pretty sportsy type person. And I just started to laugh because, you know, maybe you weren't 20 years ago, but read the room, right? Like we were just comparing ailments, trying to stand up from our desks. Like we were just going back and forth about whose back hurts. Maybe you were sportsy then, but you're not sportsy now, right? So I don't know why I started saying that, but I guess understanding times and seasons and, oh, I remember what I was saying, is that you might, so they were saying that they were a sportsy person, but the evidence would be in their flexibility, right? Like you'd often hear of the armchair, you know, quarterbacks who are like screaming at the television set, you know, 80 pounds overweight with a pot belly, and I'm preaching to me this morning, but you know, sit in the armchair preaching at the quarterback who's in the best shape of their life, given every ounce of energy running down the field to make the play. And the guy in the armchair is the one, you know, acting like he could do it better. The evidence is in what? Their flexibility. Like when we're screaming to bend over to put our shoes on because our back is stiff, like, come on, let's give a little bit more grace to the guy who's running down the field in the best shape of their life, right? So what I'm saying is the evidence of spiritual maturity is not found in lip service of saying, well, I'm mature, I'm spiritually mature. It's found in flexibility. Will you stay calm under pressure? Do you break down when plans change? You know you're spiritually mature if you choose to adapt instead of explode. You're spiritually mature when you yield to God's way, even when it's different than your way. I hope this helped you today to maybe glean on some areas of your life that you can grow in and really just, you know, evaluate again and say, you know, I got to get victory over this short temper. Why am I having a short temper today? Did something not go my way? That's spiritual immaturity. And that's what we can't do is say, well, then that's just who I am and that's just how I'm wired. No, we get victory over that. We master that. We say, no, I'm not going to respond that way because that's what an immature person would do. I am the righteousness of Christ. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. And if that power can raise Christ from the dead, don't tell me that that power can't cause me to hold my tongue or hold my peace or remain calm under pressure or have a gentle answer. Like the Bible says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. We come in ready for the fight, ready to yell. But the Bible says, give a gentle answer. Do everything you can do to maintain the peace, right? Those are the spiritual fruits we can grow and develop in. So, Lord, help us to grow in emotional maturity. Teach us to yield to your leading and become flexible in the face of change. Would you help us adapt to pressure and trust you even when life does not go our way? Help us grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Let us measure and navigate our maturity by our ability to be flexible, to adapt in change. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. It's a pleasure as always. Have an amazing day with God, and I will see you right here tomorrow on Good Morning Live. And remember, God loves you, he's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life.